Welcome to the Healthy You Gatherings podcast. We are told in John 16:33 that we will have troubles, and Jesus confirms that by saying, "I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world." Healthy You Gatherings allows us to come together and explore complex and difficult topics. Find benefit in learning from the one who's overcome the world, who understands that a biblical perspective will help us find peace amidst life's everyday issues. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Healthy You Gatherings. And today we're going to be talking about a topic that I think is kind of universal. I think everybody probably at one point or another, if they don't struggle with their past, they certainly have questions about their past or how to move forward as opposed to maybe reliving the things that have happened to us in our past. And so today we're going to talk about making peace with your past. So you have a slideshow that's available to you. I'll be referencing which slide we're on. And then you also have another document called the fill-ins. And so if you want to do that as well, too, you can be filling in what I'm talking about at each particular juncture during the podcast. And we want to start by praying. And we certainly want to ask the Lord to bless our time and also to help us to have a better understanding of maybe some of the things that are impacting us from our past. So let's pray. God, we thank you for another day. We thank you for this time. God, I pray for each person who is hearing this that, God, you will give them some increased awareness of what's happening inside of them, maybe things from the past that have continued to come forward with them. And Lord, what it is that you want us to know about these things, and how do you want us to look to you for our healing and for the answers of how to process through these things. And so, God, we thank you for our time, and we offer up all these prayers in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen. All right, so if you look at your first slide, you will see the title. And then if you go to your second slide, what do we hope to learn today? And this is also on your fill-ins. A is increased awareness of the influence that the past has on today. Sometimes we are unaware. People who are close to you are probably more aware of it, but we have a tendency to have blind spots, and I think everybody has them, including me. And so it's always good to have an increased awareness of how the past is influencing what's happening to me today, how I feel, my thoughts, my actions, my behaviors, all those kinds of things. B, we want to have some useful language to help describe some hurtful past experiences. And this is important because sometimes people struggle with the actual words they want to use. There are some words that do describe how things feel, but not always. And so one thing I'll talk about later in the podcast is it's not that important that the language is precise as much as are you connected to it? How intense is that for you? That's more important than the actual words. But some people find language can be helpful, and we're going to have a slide where we reference several words, and some of those may apply to you. And then C is practical steps to overcome some past hurts. We can talk about theology, and we can talk about philosophy, and we can talk about principles of things, but ultimately we have to have a practical step or practical steps. So hopefully you will find these three things happen today during our podcast. If you go to slide 3, you get to see some phrases that people use when maybe they're well-meaning, or maybe they're just impatient and they want you to, quote unquote, leave the past in the past. And so you hear phrases like, just get over it and move forward. You forget about it, or they tell you to forget about it and focus on the future. Sometimes they'll say things like, let go and let God. Then if you go to slide 4, you'll see three other sayings that people have a tendency to use, like, you shouldn't feel that way, be thankful that it's over, and you should be over it by now. And what I tell people when they hear these things is, if you could, you would have already done it. If you could let go and let God, if you could just get over it and move forward, if you could just forget about it and focus on the future, you would have done that by now. But for some reason, something is keeping that from happening. And so what we want to do is, while we want to appreciate people trying to help, we also have to realize that sometimes people say things and they're not helpful. And sometimes that can re-injure us. I think we have to be honest with that. And hopefully we're able to talk to people in a direct way where we could say, hey, I know you meant well, but that did not help me. Here's what can help me. So two things we're going to do. One is we're going to do what's called an impact inventory, and we're on slide 5 now, and also what is called an evaluation of influence. So if you go to slide 6, you will see impact inventory, and then you'll see 3 questions, and these are the questions that you can answer on your fill-in as well. What happened? How did it make you feel? And what were the outcomes? And the reason why these 3 questions are important is because I think sometimes, especially if it's a painful experience from the past, we want to just leave it there. And so we don't want to really think about it. We feel like if we do, we're going to be re-traumatized maybe, or it's going to hurt again. But in reality, this is where healing occurs, because you're being really honest with yourself or with somebody else to say, hey, what happened? You know, so let's say your parents divorced when you were young. Well, you could talk about that. You know, how did it make you feel? It made you feel lonely. It made you feel sad. It made you feel invisible, right? What were the outcomes? Well, the outcome was we went to live with my mom, and my dad moved to another state and got remarried, and all of a sudden I had 3 step brothers and sisters, and it was chaos. Okay. When you do an impact inventory, at first you don't have to go into a lot of detail. You're just kind of focusing on the actuality of the event as opposed to just how it makes you feel. Because what we have found through research is that when you have something that's with you, a memory or an event or a traumatic experience, you have a tendency to say it almost the same way every time. And so what begins to happen is you get into kind of a loop with the memory. But if you have to tell it to somebody for the first time and their first question to you is, hey, what happened? It might add some depth to what the memory actually is about, or this thing in the past is about. And so you can do those 3 questions for just about anything. And what I would recommend is, if you have an event that just happened in your life, so that something doesn't plague you, the Bible's clear. It says, don't let the sun go down on your anger, but also on our hurts, too. I mean, we have a God who says that he can heal us and that he wants to be with us. He's with us. He wants us to be aware of him being with us. But even if, you know, you're married and it's your spouse, or it's a close friend, or if you're a parent and it's your kids, hey, let's talk about what happened. Let's talk about how it made you feel, and let's talk about what the outcomes were. Because the better you are at getting these things to the surface, the less chance they have of getting deeper and deeper. And when they get deeper and deeper in you, it's harder to get good stuff in there, because this starts taking up more space. And so what we want to learn how to do is, as quickly as we can, say, hey, what kind of impact did this have on me? Now, some things are going to be more complicated, and sometimes what happened and how it made you feel and the outcomes could go on and on and on, and that's fine. Even if you're talking to a counselor or a friend or a mentor, going through this exercise is a real good practical way of not allowing these things to reside in you. And so that's, again, that's also on your fill-in. And then slide 7 is what we call the evaluation of influence. And if you look at your fill-in, you will see the letters A through F, and then you'll see 1 through 10. And so what we do is we look at these areas and we say, okay, let's evaluate how these events from my past are influencing me in these areas. So A is emotional, B is physical, C is mental, D is spiritual, E is financial, and F is relational. And then what you see to the right on your fill-in sheet is a 1 to 10. You can put a number in there. And so what you want to do is do a self-evaluation and say, okay, this event that occurred in my life, let's go back to this idea that your parents got divorced. Well, what kind of influence did it have on your emotions? When you reference that, when you refer to that, when you think back to that, one would be, well, it didn't really influence me at all. And 10 is it completely devastated me. The physical part, again, if you were in a car wreck or if there was some sort of abuse that occurred, or maybe you had to have surgery when you were young and that was traumatic for you, like, how did it impact you physically? Sometimes because of anxiety, we get ulcers in our stomach. And so maybe there's some issues with your stomach. Maybe you have anxiety and your heart rate goes up. You make an evaluation. Other people don't do this. This is for you to be honest with yourself and go through this process, like mentally. This is C. How did it impact your thought life? You know, what happened to how you saw yourself, or maybe how you saw other people or a specific person, you know, like in the scenario with divorce, maybe the way that you saw your dad was different than the way that you saw your mom, or maybe you saw your siblings in a different way. Or maybe somebody came along in your life that really helped you, and so mentally you had a someone that helped you, and so maybe it wasn't as tough as it could have been. Spiritually speaking, you know, what was it like? Was it a situation where it happened in the church? And so, you know, we hear a lot about church hurt. We hear about people who have been hurt, sometimes unintentionally, sometimes intentionally, by people who are in the church. How did that impact your ability to continue to worship, to continue to stay part of a body of believers, to stay connected to God financially? Maybe, going back to this scenario with a divorce, maybe you had to live in a different place because you had to sell your house because your parents got divorced. And so maybe mom never worked before and now she has to work. And so, or maybe you had to go to work. And so it impacted your ability to make money. Maybe you had to drop out of college and maybe you had to take a lower paying job. I mean, there's lots of ways that things that have happened in our past could be impacting us financially today. And then the last one is relational. Like, your relationships can be impacted by trauma and by neglect and by abuse. And so sometimes you might find it hard to connect with people. You might be very protective of yourself. Later in our series this summer, I'm going to be doing a podcast where we talk about the difference between God being a strong tower and us creating a stronghold. Because what happens when we create strongholds is we kind of put ourselves in prison. And I see that a lot with relational aspects of people, because what happens is they get hurt and they don't want to get hurt again. It completely makes sense. And so what they do is they say, well, I'm never going to let anybody close to me. I'm never going to get hurt again. And guess what? Now they have a hard time connecting because they continue to loop on how they got hurt. And so when you look at this evaluation of influence, this is a really good exercise to spend some time with and say, you know, scale of 1 to 10, how much do I think this is impacting me? Because this can certainly impact your prayer life. These are things that you can go to the Lord with, because God says that He's an ever-present help and that He wants to help us during our rough times. Of course, He wants to be with us all the time. But if you go down this list and you have a lot of sevens and eights and nines, you certainly have a Heavenly Father that wants to help you. But if you were to go to counseling or talk to a good friend or a mentor, this is something that you could say, hey, I did this exercise. These are the areas that I want to talk about, and these are the areas I'd like for you to be in prayer with me about. And so one of the things I think is really helpful when you are doing this is, if you go to slide 8, is putting words to how you do feel. And so I said this earlier, but there's two things to keep in mind when you're thinking about how do I feel, or what was the outcome of something, and I'm trying to put language to it. Is one is connectedness. How connected am I to a specific word as I think about these things in my past? And then the second's intensity. How intense is this on a scale of 1 to 10, which you just did? And so if you go to slide 9, you'll see several words on a page, okay? Everything from angry and frustrated to listless and sad and regretful. And so as you look at those words, it's about 20 of them or so, there are certain words that may connect with you. They resonate with you, and you go, that's just an overall feeling I have. I would pay attention to that. What we did when we did this in person is I told people at their table to write down the word that resonated with them the most, and then they discussed that. And so, again, the words you choose aren't as important as how connected are you to those words. What's the intensity of those things? So, for instance, you might start out going, well, the first thing that I see is depressed. And so that might start a discussion of why you're depressed. But then you might also look at the word numb and say, well, sometimes that's what happens. Well, it's interesting because depression and anxiety a lot of times are connected to numbness after the fact. And so what we find is that people cycle through some of these words depending on where they are in the process. So sometimes people start out with depression or they feel depressed, and then they'll tell me that they feel numb. And so what begins to happen is we see that we cycle through some of these words depending on where we are in the process, because sometimes we feel really sad, but then we don't want to feel sad anymore, so then we just turn it off and we become numb. Sometimes we feel worn out because we're trying so hard to overcome something that's happened, and then when we get so tired and it doesn't feel like anything has changed, then we kind of feel helpless. And so a lot of these words cycle through. So it's not that you have to necessarily have all of them, but as you look at patterns, like again, this scenario I'm talking about, like let's say your parents got divorced, you might notice 3 or 4 of those words that have a tendency to cycle through your thoughts and your emotions when you think about your parents or when you think about the divorce. Then you might be thinking about your kids and it might be different words. You might be thinking about work and it might be different words. But pay attention to what is coming out of you, because that is a big hint as to how you begin to make peace with your past. Because the number one thing that you're doing when you do that is you're acknowledging that you're feeling something. And what you want to do is you want to be validated in that. You want to be able to, with somebody, and especially the Lord, say, hey, this is how I feel. What's interesting is God speaks to this a lot about how we feel and our feelings and how he wants to be our healer. And so one thing that you can look at, and this is slide number 10, and it's Isaiah 45:2, and this is the King James Version. God says, I will go before thee, and I will make the crooked path straight. Then he says, I will break in pieces the gates of brass, and I will cut in sunder the bars of iron. So what does that mean? The reason why we want to have a relationship with God, the reason why we want to stay close to God is for, obviously, he's our creator and he loves us. But he's saying right here, I'm going to go before you. And I'm going to make those places that might cause a problem for you straight. So connect with me. Because he's saying, I'm going to break those things that are keeping you bound. But we have to stay connected to him. But what's great is God is a God of power. So he can make the crooked path straight. You know, there's an old cliche about how do you get through a minefield? You walk in the footsteps of someone who made it through. Well, guess what? God's not bound by time, so God's already in our future. So if he's saying, hey, I've already gone before you, I've made these paths straight, let's stay connected to God. Let's stay in an intimate relationship with him and ask him, God, where should I go? There's lots of scriptures about like God being a lamp unto our feet, right? He wants to guide our path so that we don't stay stuck in this scenario that we've been in or this loop that we've been in. Another scripture to look at is slide 11, which is Ephesians 6, verse 11. And here it says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So if you look at Ephesians 6 and it talks about the different pieces of armor, it really is a benefit to us each morning to start off by putting this armor on, acknowledging that there's a helmet of salvation, right? That there's a breastplate of righteousness and a belt of truth, and there's boots of peace, and there's a shield of faith, and we have a sword. Because God wants us to realize that there is an enemy out there that wants to take us down. And so when we put on the armor, what are we doing? Well, we're protecting ourselves with him, and we're also equipping ourselves to be able to stand against whatever those thoughts and those emotions are that are coming our way. So the idea of the salvation, the helmet of salvation, think about this. Paul tells us we have the mind of Christ. So you have the ability to perceive your past the way that Jesus does. And if Jesus talked to you and I'm pretty sure he would tell us, I've got this, I've got you, it's going to be okay, just stick with me. But when we don't seek him and when we're not in relationship with him, then we're left to our own devices. And I think it's interesting that Psalms 3, 5, and 6 tells us to not depend on our own thoughts, but to basically say, let me follow God. And then your last scripture, which is slide 12, is Proverbs 16:3. And here it says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And the reason why this is so important is because that's a choice you and I make. So starting today, I am participating in my future, and I have to ask myself the question, am I committing my works to God? Do I start my day off and go, God, I see what's in front of me. I'm asking you for wisdom. I'm asking you to direct my path. Give me what I need for today, and watch and see what happens to your thoughts. So he's saying in the Proverbs that it will be established, it will be set when we do that. So I would suggest, almost dare you, to start doing that. Each morning, just look at your schedule and then say, God, I'm going to commit my day to you. And will you establish my thoughts and see if there's less anxiety, less depression, less negative feelings, and more awareness of him being with us? Brian Jones, our senior pastor, says a lot of times that God will do suddenlies, there will be miracles, but then there are process. And so it could be both. But keep this in mind, if you did an impact inventory and an evaluation of influence, and let's say it was physical or mental, and you had like an 8 or a 9, and you committed your works unto the Lord and your thoughts were established, and in a month you were at a 6, would that be worth it? We'd all say, yeah. Of course, we all want it to be 1, but what would happen if things that were 7, 8s, and 9s started becoming 4, 5s, and 6s. And so what would happen is we would start to realize, hey, as I spend more time with God and as I allow God to direct me, my past is seeming to have less of an impact on me. It's having less control on me. One thing I would recommend, this is a resource that I found to be helpful many, many years ago, and this is slide 13. I was a facilitator of a small group of men, and it's a workbook by Tim Sledge called Making Peace with Your Past. Now, in this one, he says, help for adult children of dysfunctional families. So if your issue is not about dysfunctional families, then this may not be for you. But jokingly, I was like, everybody's got a dysfunctional family. And so what I found in this book, this workbook that was so helpful to us, there was about 6 of us that went through it, was you have to answer questions. You have to really think through how you were impacted by your past in ways that maybe you weren't aware of before, but now you are. And it's great to go through it with other people who are going through it at the same time, because then you don't feel like all the focus is on you. But as a group, you are processing it and going to the Lord. And I think that's a great way to process through trying to make peace with your past. And so if you want that book, you certainly could buy it and you could get a group of people. You don't need anybody to facilitate it for you. You could do that as a group. And I would think that it would be very valuable. What if you need something beyond today? You know, at the end of our podcast, we give you ways to get in touch with us. It's also in the PowerPoint on slide 14. You can email us. You can call us. You can also go on our website, go to brookwoodchurch.org/help, and you'll see where you can get connected. Lots of different resources that are available to you. And we hope that you take advantage of that if you feel like you need it, and we'd certainly be willing to help you in that process. On your fill-ins, you'll see some reflection questions. If you're doing this with some other folks, you'll see there's five ways to process through this. And so I hope you find that valuable. And I hope you found this podcast to be valuable. And I want to pray for us as we're closing. And I pray that God meets you where you are today and begins with you that process of making peace with your past. So let's pray. God, thank you again for our time today. I thank you for the love that you have for us. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace, and you told us that you leave with us peace, not as the world gives, but only as you give. So God, I pray for every person that's listening today that you would allow them an experience with you where peace begins to take root in them. And God, I pray that you bring people into their lives that help them on that journey, but ultimately that they experience you, that they get to know you and be known by you. And God, we just thank you again for your word and for your Holy Spirit. And God, I lift up all of these prayers in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So God bless you guys. Have a great day, and I will see you next time.
Thanks again for listening to Care Ministries podcast from Brookwood Church. If you would like more information about today's topic or you need support, you can call us at 864-688-8355 or email us at careministries@brookwoodchurch.org. To find out more about what Care Ministries offers, please visit www.brookwoodchurch.org/care. We'd love to be an encouragement to you as we walk together in a healing relationship with Christ. Until next time, God bless.